A White Heron by Sarah Orne Jewett. Half a mile from home, at the farther edge of the woods where the land was highest, a great pine tree stood, the last of its generation. Whether it was left for a boundary mark or for what reason, no one could say. The woodchoppers who had felled its mates were dead and gone long ago, and a whole forest of sturdy trees, pines and oaks and maples, had grown again. But the stately head of this old pine towered above them all and made a landmark for sea and shore miles and miles away. Sylvia knew it well. She had always believed that whoever climbed to the top of it could see the ocean, and the little girl had often laid her hand on the great, rough trunk and looked up wistfully at those dark boughs that the wind always stirred, no matter how hot and still the air might be below. Now she thought of the tree with a new excitement, for why, if one climbed it at the break of day, could not one see all the world and easily discover from whence the white heron flew and mark the place and find the hidden nest? What a spirit of adventure! What wild ambition! What fancied triumph and delight and glory for the later morning when she could make known the secret! It was almost too real and too great for the childish heart to bear. All night the door of the little house stood open, and the whippoorwills came and sang upon the very step. The young sportsman and his old hostess were sound asleep, but Sylvia's great design kept her broad awake and watching. She forgot to think of sleep. The short summer night seemed as long as the winter darkness. And at last, when the whippoorwills ceased, and she was afraid the morning would, after all, come too soon, she stole out of the house and followed the pasture path through the woods, hastening toward the open ground beyond, listening with a sense of comfort and companionship to the drowsy twitter of a half-awakened bird, whose perch she had jarred in passing. Alas, if the great wave of human interest which floored for the first time this dull little life should sweep away the satisfactions of an existence heart to heart with nature and the dumb life of the forest! There was the huge tree asleep yet in the paling moonlight, and small and silly Sylvia began with utmost bravery to mount to the top of it, with tingling, eager blood coursing the channels of her whole frame, with her bare feet and fingers that pinched and held like birds' claws to the monstrous ladder reaching up, up, almost to the sky itself. First, she must mount the white oak tree that grew alongside, where she was almost lost among the dark branches and the green leaves heavy and wet with dew. A bird fluttered off its nest, and a red squirrel ran to and fro and scolded pettishly at the harmless housebreaker. Sylvia felt her way easily. She had often climbed there, and knew that higher still, one of the oak's upper branches chafed against the pine tree, just where its lower boughs were set close together. There, when she made the dangerous pass from one tree to the other, the great enterprise would really begin. She crept out along the swaying oak limb at last, and took the daring step across into the old pine tree. The way was harder than she thought. She must reach far and hold fast. The sharp, dry twigs caught and held her and scratched her like angry talons. The pitch made her thin little fingers clumsy and stiff as she went round and round the tree's great stem, higher and higher upward. The sparrows and robins in the woods below were beginning to wake and twitter to the dawn, yet it seemed much lighter there aloft in the pine tree, and the child knew she must hurry if her project were to be of any use. The tree seemed to lengthen itself out as she went up, and to reach farther and farther upward. It was like a great main mast to the voyaging earth. It must truly have been amazed that morning, through all its ponderous frame, as it felt this determined spark of human spirit winding its way from higher branch to branch. Who knows how steadily the least twigs held themselves to advantage this like, weak creature on her way? The old pine must have loved his new dependent more than all the hawks and bats and moths, and even the sweet-voiced thrushes, was the brave beating heart of the solitary gray-eyed child. And the tree stood still and frowned away the winds that June morning, while the dawn grew bright in the east. Sylvia's face was like a pale star, if one had seen it from the ground, when the last thorny bough was passed, and she stood trembling and tired, but wholly triumphant, high in the treetop. Yes, there was the sea, with the dawning sun making a golden dazzle over it, and toward that glorious east flew two hawks with slow moving pinions. How low they looked in the air from that height, when one had only seen them before far up, and dark against the blue sky. Their gray feathers were as soft as moths. They seemed only a little way from the tree, and Sylvia felt as if she, too, could go flying away among the clouds. Westward, the woodlands and farms reached miles and miles into the distance. Here and there were church steeples and white villages. Truly, it was a vast and awesome world.